Welcome to The Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're building, buying, or designing your next project, we got you covered here at The Home Building Hero. Coming to you live today from the Bellman Homes Studio. I am David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes, and thank you for tuning in to The Home Building Hero today. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Today's topic, all about concrete and foundations. All right, so this is a topic that, you know, all the episodes of Home Building Hero, we've done 300 plus, we've never really dug deeply, pardon the pun, and talked about foundations and concrete. Now, for those of you that live in different parts of the country that maybe don't have a basement, this maybe isn't as appropriate for you, although there is a lot of information still about concrete. And every home has it, so it is pretty interesting stuff. So where I got some of this information is actually, as a builder, we're required to get continuing education throughout the year, and we have to get a certain amount of hours to maintain our contractor license. So I just took a recent course about concrete, and after taking that course, I was like, wow, there's a lot of stuff in here that is valuable information that I think people would appreciate. So here we are. We're going to cover a few of those pieces here in the podcast. And by no means, I'm going to say this right now, I'm no concrete expert. I'm sharing information from one of our vendors that actually put on the presentation. So I'll give some credit to them. But this is some general information, which is pretty interesting, and a lot of things that didn't really realize. And there's a lot of careful thought, a lot of engineering that goes behind concrete, especially poured foundations, to make them work well, and a lot of science behind it. So let's talk about that for a little bit. So first of all, a foundation has three primary purposes when you put a foundation in. One is that it needs to handle the load of the house, so the point loads of the roof and the weight of the home. So it needs to be able to handle the loads. The second thing it needs to do is it has to be able to keep water out. So you have to design this so that it directs water away. And a lot of times a poured wall, you know, you have solid concrete, which obviously helps, but concrete can absorb moisture. So you want to prevent that from happening. But then you also have to drain the water away. And the further you go on the ground, the more chance you're going to, contact water at some point. So that's where you have like the drain tile, the forma drain going around the footings of the basement, and then generally some stone backfill to help move that water through quicker and keep it away from the wall. And then the third task that a foundation has is that it is has to withstand the soil pressure and the backfill. So it has to hold up because, again, you think about this, if you just make an open hole in the ground, eventually that's going to cave in, right? So you put these walls in, they have to be able to withstand that pressure of the ground around it that's pushed around it, people walking around and machines going around it. It's got to be able to withstand that pressure of having that open hole on the other side. So that's the first part of foundations. That's the primary focus of them. Now, shifting gears a little bit, let's talk a little bit about the components of a basement. You've got really two main components of your basement wall. You have your concrete, which is obvious, but then you also have steel. All poured wall basements have some sort of steel embedded inside of them, and there's a very specific purpose for why you put that steel in the basement. So first of all, let's talk about this. So, you know, concrete itself is very good at compression, okay? So that's the primary purpose of concrete, is that it's going to be able to handle that compression, whereas the steel is good with tension. So you want to have a mix of both so that the concrete can handle the compression, the steel can handle the tension. The steel actually creates a little bit of flex in that wall, but it also adds some strength to it. Now, what you may not realize is that most basements have not only, especially here in Wisconsin, we have our steel put in vertically and horizontally. So the new code is that you have to have a steel rod every 6 feet going up and down vertically. And then you need to have horizontal steel rods. And we put three of them in. So at the top, middle, and bottom of the wall. Now they serve very different purposes. The vertical steel only does one thing, and that is to add strength to that wall. That is what's going to make that wall stronger. The horizontal does not do that at all. The horizontal steel, what that does is help reduce shrinkage in the wall. The vertical one is going to help you with your backfill and your strength. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, the other thing with your steel is that there are multiple grades of steel. And the lower the number, the more brittle it is and the cheaper it is. So if you go to like a home store and you buy some steel, you're probably going to get grade 40 steel, which is the most inexpensive that you can get. And it's not really designed for a basement. For a basement, you're going to want to use grade 60 or higher steel. And obviously, it's going to be quite a bit more expensive. So keep that in mind. Now let's talk about concrete for a little bit. Concrete itself has to be meet a certain standard. And the American Concrete Institute, ACI, is what governs concrete. And they've created code, and this code is actually international. So they have a set of standards that's internationally recognized and used throughout the world. So the requirements that we have set forth in this country are followed in all sorts of different parts of the country. And all sorts of different sections on there. There's sections that just cover the masonry standards. Section 332 covers residential standards. And there's all sorts of different things involved with that. And this is really where the engineering comes in. And this is definitely getting above my pay grade. But there's different soil types rather. And these different soil types require different setups. So in some states, there's maybe 10 different soils in the ground. But here in Wisconsin, where I build, there can be 45 to 50 different types of soil. And they all have different characteristics and can affect the home build. So that's it requires, after we dig the basement, to analyze that and then make some slight adjustments to not only the concrete, but maybe the steel and how everything's set up. When we dig a basement and we put a concrete foundation in, the soil has to be able to handle at least 2,000 PSI, pounds per square inch, at the base at a minimum. If it can't handle that, then we have to do some other remedies before we put that concrete in. And that could be digging down further to more stable soil and then putting in a taller wall. It could be, again, scraping out that poor performing soil and then putting in crushed stone and compacting it to get the right PSI. But we do have to watch that. And if we don't have the right soil in part of the foundation, we've got to correct it. Okay, so now we talked a little bit about the materials that go in. We talked about the concrete. I want to go a little further into the concrete and some of the interesting phenomenons with concrete. So let's talk first about slump, because that's a really neat term. And slump is basically a measurement of if you poured like a bucket of concrete, you made a bucket of concrete and you poured it out, how long would it take to go from its original shape in the bucket to where it flattens out? And that's called slump. And there's actually some tests and different things for that. And obviously you want less slump. You want the concrete to be more firm and hold its position. And of course, the more water you add in, the more slump you're going to have. So you want to have less slump with your concrete. Now, of course, the less water you have in it, the harder it is to put that concrete into forms and pour it and pack it in. So there's a kind of a fine balance between how much water you want to have in the concrete and how dry you want to have it. And, it's amazing how if you have like 1 inch of concrete, that's 100 pounds of strength and about 10% shrinkage is what you're going to have with a 1 inch section of concrete. So what's interesting is that concrete hardens for a very long time. If you think that concrete is done after a week and it's dry and it's as hard as it's ever going to be, that is not true. Concrete continues to get harder and harder for up to 30 years. 30 years. So if you poured a driveway even a year ago, it's not done getting hard. It's still setting in. It's still getting harder over time. But here's the deal. Concrete can only get hard if it's above 40 degrees. Anytime it's less than 40 degrees internal temperature, it will not strengthen. And so it's very, very important that, especially when you're first creating a basement and pouring a basement, that you don't backfill it right away. That's why they make it wait 7 to 10 days at a minimum, because you want to make sure that that wall is hardened. Otherwise, it could collapse on you. And in the winter, you want to wait even longer. But the challenge in the winter is if it's very cold out, you have to try and keep that internal temperature of the concrete above 40 degrees. And that can be a challenge when it's zero out. We still put basements in when it's cold out, but it is more of a risk. And so what we do to make that work is we put additives into the concrete. And these additives keep it warm. It creates a chemical reaction, and it changes the internal temperature of the concrete and warms it up. And then we cover the concrete with like blankets or tarps and things like that to maintain that temperature so that it can continue the hardening process. And the most dangerous part is really the first couple days. If you don't keep that concrete warm the first couple days, you will never, you know, especially if you don't keep it above 40 for that first, you know, 4 or 5 days, it will never get to the right PSI, and you're going to end up having to tear it out. And you need at least 500 PSI or above, really, to get this thing to where it needs to go. So it's pretty interesting. And really, the first 24 hours, you want to keep it at 60 degrees or higher. But after that, you need at least a 40 degree internal temperature for it to continue to harden. So it's pretty interesting stuff, the phenomenon and all the things that go into it to make a good basement. And like we've mentioned, in the winter, we put in additives to keep the concrete warm. In the summer, we put in additives into the concrete to make sure that we don't let the water get out too fast, because if it's a very hot, dry day, you don't want this thing drying out on you very quickly. And it takes years and years for all that moisture to get out of that concrete. So that's why when people are like, oh, my basement's damp, especially even a couple years after moving into the home, the basement can still be damp. That's because concrete still has moisture in it for many, many years, and that's still coming out. And it's going to slowly work out of the wall. And the wall will tend to crack from time to time because that moisture has to escape from the middle of that wall. So they actually also put in control joints with steel behind it, and that is a designed area for the wall to crack, for that moisture to break out of. So it's pretty interesting, the science again that goes into all of this. And you know, some of these things are true as well with a block basement. You still put steel in a block basement for strength, but the technology that we see in a poured wall is far greater, and the amount of issues that we have with the poured basement is far less than a block basement. So the majority of new homes today, I think you see with a poured basement versus a block basement for a very good reason. Plus they're taller. If you do go higher than, you know, a 9 foot, you can easily do that with a poured basement, where it's much more difficult with a block basement. So there's a lot of advantages to it. And again, you know, this is an area that's, it's nice to have some knowledge on. And especially, you know, if you have concerns or you have a lot that has soil issues or questionable water, making sure that your builder is using a good mason that understands some of these things and how it goes together can make a huge difference, because, you know, that foundation is what the entire rest of your home sits on. And it's very important that you get it right. So hopefully you guys found this to be super interesting. It's a little more technical than we normally go into here, but hopefully you enjoyed some of the content here about foundations. And of course, if you would like to learn more, feel free to shoot us an email, homebuildinghero@yahoo.com. Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Bellman Home Studio. If you haven't already, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, and make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content.
Until next time, I'm David Bellman, signing off.